Cafe. This is your podcast where we talk about the income scene of gaming, and boy howdy, is there a lot of news affecting the income scene of gaming. We also chat about tournament streaming and general gaming news. This is coming from your Game Migos. I am Drew Boopers.
This is Lord Most underscore.
This is Angry Agent Seed.
And Zinal.
Hey, we're having Zinal as a regular right here. Just so you guys know, we have another episode recorded, and that one is being pushed back just because some really big gaming news came out. We wanted to launch a little bit earlier. Zinal will be on that one as well. But yeah, first thing first, because we had so many episodes about a very hopeful game that came out, Multiverses. In the background, did everything right. You know,
did they?
I mean, we said on the podcast they did.
Yeah. you guys said they did.
So did you.
For beta.
But at this point, it just seems like it's a Kickstarter game. That's just going to stay in beta forever.
No, that's a very expensive Kickstarter game. If that's exactly what you want to go with.
Yeah. But listen, they did it. The background has all been done right because they got the original voice actors. They got popular characters. They did a fighting game like a Smashing. They invested into the infrastructure, gave like $1 million prizes or just lots of prizes altogether just to be able to get people hyped for the game. And then it flopped.
Did it really flop though, or is it that because according to them they're just pulling it off of they're just ending the beta, the quote-unquote beta for it, okay, and it's going to come back in 2024 after some rework?
Is it really a flop
in that scenario?
It's a flop when they started out strong and then they had less than 1% of their hype user base, less than 1% stayed.
That's, do you really know any games that are going to keep that hype? You have so many strong games. We talk about like Pokemon, for example, and such a great spike of like player or viewership right in the beginning. And even something as strong as that, their hype only lasts 2 or 3 months and then everything is kind of done. This very game has longevity because you can play with so many people. But if you don't keep that hype going, you're pushing it back a full year. I don't see many people playing it again. You bring it up in the past, like, oh yeah, there was a game about that. What happened? We remember Nickelodeon All-Stars?
Brawler?
What happened to that?
They did a lot of wrong things. And I remember I was listening to some of our old...
Yeah, that one was a straight up no. Flop. Yeah.
But that one, I remember I was going through our old podcast episodes, and I remember mostly Seed, when he brought up his first, like, this is episode 2 or 3. He's like, you know what? So far from the commercials, I haven't seen any voice acting, and that's gonna like be terrible. It's like, no, they're not gonna do that. And yep, they did that.
They don't got the budget. They didn't get the budget for it. What can you do?
Okay, but this game had a way bigger budget. This game had original voice actors. This game, like many other ones, the other one I actually didn't think was horrible, the PlayStation All-Stars, because I did platinum that. I have to say it wasn't all that bad because I put time into it. But whatever the case was, these companies keep trying to follow that Smash Brothers
it's formula, not,
and it doesn't work the same way.
Well, it's not the Smash Brothers. Like, the game type is Smash Brothers, but at the end of the day, they're just trying to find essentially their Fortnite. Fortnite, so that way they could keep the money coming in on a constant basis. And then that's why it's where everyone's looking at, okay, they, like, if you look at all the games that failed, Anthem, Destiny's still going pretty well. There's a few other ones, Babylon Falls, like a bunch of the ones that's all like that have all been a service kind of game, where it's like a looting, like PvE and a service kind of game where they expect it to last forever. Avengers, there you go. Like, it just didn't, like, they're just trying to find essentially like something to consistently like keep income going. And like the most common one is, for lack of a better term, Destiny, mm-hmm. that kind of kept the formula going. And then they also have the battle royales, which the top player is Fortnite, even though Players Unknown Battleground was first on top of that. But then you have Call of Duty trying to jump in on that as well.
And so Apex Legends,
Apex also, yes. But
here's the thing: all of those games, like you brought up Fortnite, and that's why I bring it up. Fortnite wasn't originally intended to be played like this. Fortnite was a very different kind of game initially when they brought it up. And then during their beta, during their testing phase and all that, it became what the game is now. Whereas the Nintendo All Brawlers, the Multiverses, they kept trying to push for that Melee Smash Brothers formula and kept trying to force that to happen, whereas they didn't let it evolve into something of its own like the way Fortnite did.
Well, so I'm going to have to disagree there, because remember, Fortnite started as a shooter. It's still a shooter. Mm-hmm. This is a fighter. They're still trying to make it a fighter. They're just trying to make it better. And that's where I do think they are trying to follow exactly that Fortnite formula. But okay, for me, if they were to do it right, and they're not going to do this, they should hire me. Listen to me. But what they need to do is, A, I think one thing that they did wrong was that they ended up having like the characters kind of behind a paywall. Any characters that you play with, anything that affects gameplay, and I've said this before, that needs to be the free part. The part that you pay for is the cosmetics, because that right there is why Fortnite's so popular. If you could throw thousands of dollars into it and you don't get anything better than the other person, you just have cosmetics.
Your own player, yeah.
Yeah, so your skill is what gets better as you keep playing. So the fact that they had characters unlock, which I know they're trying to follow the MOBA model, but MOBAs, that's its own thing. And yes, Valorant's doing that too, but it's not like the niche thing. If you really want people to get into it, you don't have a barrier behind money.
Well, and I think you're hitting the nail on the head on that one.
I mean, that's different in the sense that they were the expansion packs that they did later.
Right.
But that's like after the game has been out for like months or years.
All the characters on there already unlocked.
Yeah.
Are you unlock them? Like as you play through the game, you can unlock and play them. But the thing is,
Well, no, because a lot of their new characters, even if they release the new set, or what was it called? I forgot, the expansions. It doesn't mean that you could continue to unlock the expansion characters too, right? Well, if you wanted to play with them, you had to unlock them or you had to pay for it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Those characters were much stronger too.
Yes, but that's an expansion pack for a game. That does well only because the first game that you bought was a complete game. So yes, this one, they said, here you go. Here's 12 characters, but you only have 4 that you have unlocked. Unless you play a lot or spend money, then you can start unlocking the other 8. Oh, and by the way, we're going to come out with a new character every month. Can you see like where that's a bigger wallet thing versus, oh, you have 50 characters from the get-go. Oh, you guys really like this game? Do you want more characters? We got to put development time into this. So we need to have some money to do that. Are you guys okay with that? Great. Here you go. Now, these are the fan requested characters. We've put extra money into it because we first gave you a complete game.
See, and I think that like really like you're all right in a sense, like Multiverses is trying to be too many things, right? Multiverses is a fighter like Smash, but we're comparing it to Fortnite and we're comparing it to all these other games that are not fighters. So they're trying to bring all of these different aspects from different games all into this one game. And not all those things work for a fighter. Like Mr. Booper's saying, like, you can't hide things behind a paywall unless you're going to like make it more breaky. Right. Like,
I mean, to be fair though, I mean, for Smash though, you did pay for the full game, where Multiverses, unless you were like Mr. Booper's and pay for the Founders Edition for it, then you don't get it. But I think it just comes down to the point of cost on that. Like Smash Brothers, it's essentially like Nintendo. Nintendo could do whatever they want. Okay,
they could own the world if they wanted. Nintendo is gaming Disney. That's it.
Yeah, yes, Nintendo is gaming. I mean, they already have Nintendo Land over at Universal Studios.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like you have the mouse over at Disneyland, you know, making people shit bricks. And now you got the plumber over here cleaning those bricks out with
Nintendo. Fair enough. And then also, let's not forget about the lawyers on both sides.
Yeah. You brought up a good point. I was somebody who paid for the Founders Pack and the big Founders Pack at that. So mind you, to get the complete game, I paid the complete Founders Pack, which was $100. So that's more than the $60 you would have gotten already for like the or for the Smash game, but
80 for the next beta. One.
Yeah, that's a beta, quote unquote. I don't know if you could tell that I had the quote fingers up. Mm. And now they're going to close it. So people who spent real money, now that the game is closed.
Yeah, you can only do local matches, that if that. Yeah.
No, no, you can do training. You could do training mode. That's what they're going to have open until 2024 at some point.
Sucks to buy that digital game, doesn't it?
You and the games of a service.
Absolutely hate them. Just give me a game that has everything in it and I'm happy. You don't need to keep trying to milk me for more money. I'm already broke.
Actually, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to say, even what you're saying, games as a service, how you hate it, they're trying to incorporate that into regular games. Have you guys heard about Animal Crossing, what's coded into the game, hard-coded?
No, because I don't have that game here. I don't allow it into my house, and people who play Animal Crossing, for whatever reason, think it's like the greatest game of all. I don't consider them true gamers.
It's a relaxing...
Casual gamers are totally gamers.
Yeah, they are gamers. No, get the hell out of here.
No, when I
no, those are gamers with too much time on
my social media feed is, hey, we're selling shells at, you know, however many coins. No, I'm so tired of that crap.
It's fine.
Well, come to my island.
Just let people play the games they want to.
Yeah.
No, because you guys don't let me play the games I want to.
We do let you play all the games you want to.
That I don't let you play.
Yeah. What do you play that we don't let you play? Suck it.
But I will say, so right there, hard coded into that game, Nintendo trying to do everything, is once the year hits 2060, which, yes, it is a long time away, you can no longer play that game.
Very simple. I have a very simple solution for that. Just wind the time back.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. You can still do that. But imagine when they stop allowing you to do that in systems, because, you know, it's going to be the next step. But that's hard coded. Once it hits 2060, it says, oh, I'm sorry, you can no longer play this game. Like, if you put your system forward to 2060, you can't play Animal Crossing.
Wait, so why is that?
I don't know why they decided to hard code it in the game, but to me, it sounds like the same thing like Seed always says when these companies want you to keep paying for the games or playing them, trying to keep money. And at some point, if they don't get it, they just close down their servers. They just hard coded that date into it. So you cannot play it past that date.
Or you could just rewind your Switch to
2050 for now,
and you're cool.
Yeah, for now.
If you can fast forward it and stop right now, you can
backdate it and
continue playing.
But here, Lord,
if you're still playing this dumb game and your Nintendo Switch in 2060, you're probably one person.
So yeah. That is hard-coded. Can you imagine the next Switch? You're not going to be able to change a date on there.
And by 2060, you're talking about
the internet.
You're talking about Switch 14, dude.
Like, no. Well, yeah, by
it's more of like a slippery slope argument, right? Where we don't want developers putting this into games.
Yeah, you don't
like at all, because we don't want it to be like 5 years from now, right? Where we can't play the game we bought in 5 years on the system we still play.
So that's I get that. Yes. Ago. So just if that were the
I
case,
mean, wait, actually,
I couldn't play Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario World. I couldn't play that today if that were the case. If they were hard coding it into the games back then, I would not be able to play that game.
You're trying to say they're like testing the waters of what our year limit is.
Well, yes, but I mean, to some point, though, what about games that you for sure can't play anymore, though? Example for Zinal, Final Fantasy 14 Original.
They blew that game up, literally.
No. It's just like, here, look, you know how Nintendo, they're not like putting their games out. They hate when you pirate their old games, even though they don't even like put them back out on their virtual console, which they could. So they want more control over that. So you can't play their game. You can't, the physical disc that you guys buy in the future, you still will not be able to play because they've hard coded it into the program.
I just immediately reminded of
unless you buy it again in their Switch 72.
I just immediately got reminded of a little, clip that Seed sent me earlier with the Nintendo and Patrick. It's like
the AI voices.
Yeah, that was so good.
That was,
it's like, I want to pay you to play your old games.
This game's not available on eShop.
but you can put it on the new console. I have money.
I want to give you my money to play this game. Yeah, I know.
Okay, I'm just saying, I feel like we're mentioning Nintendo a little too much in this podcast, and I got a feeling we're going to get a cease and desist if we keep talking about it.
Well, I think it's a good point to point out that we are comparing multiverses to Smash Brothers, where Smash Brothers doesn't get the tag of less than 1% of their original playership is still playing. We don't get to know that about Smash, right?
Now, if we switch Nintendo to that plumber, does that still work?
You could try, but when you get that cease and desist letter, I'm straight up giving you up right there. Like, I'm not going to try to defend your ass.
I'm not going
to
get it.
Yeah, I remember.
Why would I get it?
Actually, you know what? Nintendo is as bad as Disney. Never mind.
Yeah, they're
when it comes to our lawyers.
It's like synonymous, dude, with like how strict they are with everything. I'm telling you, it's going to be 1 year. Disney owns half the world. Nintendo owns the other half. I'm sorry, the plumber owns the other half.
So you're afraid of Nintendo, but not Disney in that sense, right there, because you're still calling Disney out by name.
I mean, you didn't say anything about that one yet. Fine, the mouse or the plumber. One of the two is going to own half the world. Mm. They already got Fox.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, heck. Oh, so there's more news than people dropping the ball. Can you believe, did you hear how Valorant, which is, you know, great team shooter, but Valorant beat Overwatch to have a playable tournament mode?
We're surprised, though.
Yeah, you know,
Overwatch 2 has been so plagued with development issues. Like,
absolutely hate Overwatch 2. Like, why? Just give me back Overwatch 1. Like, I like, all's forgiven. Just revert the servers back.
All's forgiven.
I don't mind Overwatch 2 setup. Yeah, I like
the Coopers bought the founder pack for that one too.
Yeah, I like the gameplay of it. It's just a lot of their decisions about how they're trying to earn money is, you know, greedy and a little bit too much. But at the same time, their whole shtick with Overwatch 1 to Overwatch 2 was we have teams, we have tournaments, we have professional like stadiums that we're filling up. So it's all about their tournament mode. And then if you think about it, they're supposed to have the tournament mode brought out to the public so that way people can host smaller tournaments to get more hype for their big tournaments. Mm. And who beat them but somebody who came out with the game like 2-3 years later.
Okay, but to be fair though, at least Riot has more experience with tournaments, at least from LOL in that case.
Yep. League of Legends, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, so I mean, it's,
I'm not even big on Valorant anymore. Is it still like hype to play? Like, most people are playing Overwatch or one.
COD?
Not COD. Well, Call of Duty, obviously. But there's a fourth one. What was the other one we were playing? Apex. I still know a lot of people that play Apex.
A lot of people play Apex, but that's actually less than Valorant. Valorant is more popular than Apex.
Mm.
People that play Valorant, I want to say it's more people that played
Counter-Strike.
CS:GO. Yeah,
Counter-Strike. Yeah.
It's a different audience. It's a different audience that you're going for.
That's probably why I don't like it at all.
Yeah, so Apex is going to be your Fortnite audience, and those are the people who got tired of the building in Fortnite, which is why Fortnite decided to have a no building mode. So they're all competing with each other, which competition's good. Keep that up.
Right?
But until there's too many options, and then it's like, what the hell do we play?
Well, like that, and people that are like so invested in certain games like Overwatch 2, they just get disappointed, right? By development issues and promises that are broken and
six player mode instead of five for games. I want my two tanks.
I'm still wanting my PvE. Like,
oh man.
Oh yes.
I forgot about that.
Oh, that rant. Don't get me on that rant again.
Actually, to be fair, hopefully all the issues are fixed when Microsoft finally gets approved to buy them.
That was
not gonna happen.
Looks like. And did you see the girls are fighting? The girls are fighting right now. I forgot who in Microsoft, but they got so salty at Sony because Sony just said, oh, yeah, we don't care if they are still going to give us Call of Duty deals or not. We just don't want them to buy it anymore. So that's why part of the reason, they are the
So they're essentially me with buying collector's editions. I'm buying it just so other people can have it.
Yeah, they're saying, Sony is saying, we just don't want them to own them anymore. Like, it's not about specific game. It's not this.
I mean, it's a tricky situation. I mean, Sony and Microsoft, they're pretty much gobbling up game companies left and right. So like small independent companies, you're either going to have indie games or you're going to have AA or AAA games going forward. And it's going to be a situation where it's going to be exclusive on Microsoft or Sony. And then Microsoft will be on their their Game Pass. Which is there. So as Booper says, competition is good. And if it's only two people competing, then it's Like it's gonna be less less innovation in the market itself. Like you need other companies
monopolizing everything at that point.
That's the main reason. Like there's like all these hearings for it itself. Like if Ticketmaster has taught me anything,
yes,
if Ticketmaster and Live Nation has taught me anything, and the Taylor Swift fans apparently monopolies are bad. The board game has taught us wrong. Just saying.
Apparently monopolies are bad. Seed.
I don't know.
In the gaming industry, we see that even with AAA studios that get too big for their britches, like Ubisoft, right? Like they get too big, they start making cookie cutter decisions because they're a corporation now and not a developer. Wait. And we get like 20 Assassin's Creeds that all feel the same.
Don't be messing with my Creed.
No. Assassin's Creed has gone downhill significantly since Syndicate.
Okay.
All right. Everything has been pretty cookie cutter. You got to admit that.
No, they haven't been, because they made drastic changes when Origins came out. I was a huge
fan. Go ahead.
I really liked Origins. I loved Odyssey. I wasn't a huge fan of Valhalla. It was too long, not an epic story. You know, you still had the best story of all of them was Ezio's trilogy, but some of the best gameplay was from Odyssey. I think it had the best of all of it. Now, these newer ones like Mirage, who's taking a step back and taking it back to the original type of games, like the AC 1, 2, 3 Syndicate, etc., was, and taking it away from the newer types of games post Origins, you get a little bit of both, because you have that for the veteran players, and then you have the new one, Assassin's Creed Red, codename Red, which is supposed to be set in Japan. That's going to be, from what I heard, more of like the new gameplay, the hack and slash, and not so much like the covert ops. You don't have to do the stealth, which I thought was okay in some cases, too much in other cases. But Assassin's Creed, for the most part, has done really well.
I do have to go back for one second.
Ubisoft earnings would disagree.
I'm still paying it. I don't know.
Did you say Ubisoft?
He said that twice. I didn't want to throw.
I hear it both ways.
It's Ubisoft
and Ubisoft.
Wanting to say it. Wait.
Is it because it's French? Is it because it's there in Canada? So are we speaking of a Canadian accent?
I've heard it go both ways.
It is Ubisoft, right? Or is it Ubisoft? Because now you have me rethinking my whole life.
It's just like when we used to call chocobos. Like,
we called them chocobacos, which I have no idea where we got that.
Exactly.
I have never called a chocobo a chocobo.
It's like middle school for us. But
I'm just saying it's technically a yellow chicken.
Yeah.
Well, since we're on Ubisoft, E3 news, they're out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, more.
Ooh, and are they out because they are going to do their own thing? Or are they out because they don't have the money to pay for E3?
You know they have been doing their own thing. Ubisoft has been doing a lot more of their own directs with their larger games, such as, guess what? Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm. Is that where you got all your info?
I watched a couple of them, and yes.
Okay, yeah, to be fair,
I watched them too.
Like most of the companies have been kind of doing their own thing nowadays, like either streaming through Twitch, YouTube, they kind of have like their smaller events, and then it's I'm pretty like it's essentially gonna go away. Like for E3, it was at the time I think it was definitely needed to kind of have like a consolidated area for most of the video games itself. But nowadays, like a lot of the video games, like there's other conventions as well, like such as like Comic-Con or CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, where there has to be a good presence there. Like you have to kind of be there to see it. Whereas for games, it's a situation where you're kind of like, if you're going to E3, it's kind of, you're going to be based, everything you're going to announce is going to be based on E3 schedule. And then essentially it's just one company trying to one up another company. And essentially it's just turns into a giant showcase of look how big my booth is. And look how big my booth is.
I didn't think you're going to go with booth there.
Yeah. So. I was really impressed by him actually.
Right. He normally goes in.
I thought
direction.
He would say genitalia. I thought he would say other things. He didn't. Seed, honestly, you've grown.
Yeah, you've grown since one episode
matured.
ago.
No, definitely not. Wait, I said booth, right? I mean penis.
There it is.
Everyone's comparing size of their schlongs.
We shouldn't have said anything. Honestly, yeah, means, we would have had one clean show.
We could have. But that means, I mean, for all intents and purposes, E3 is probably dead then, because Nintendo's out, Sony's out,
Microsoft's out,
and now some of the big E3 or big AAA game studios, like Ubisoft being the first one. Who's really left?
Square, Santa Monica.
We're still there.
Are those still there?
Well, Santa Monica's Sony.
Santa Monica's Sony.
Oh, that's right.
I think it's kind of sucked because most of these companies have been gobbled up by Sony and Microsoft. So those booths are no longer there-ish, right?
Yeah.
I mean, E3 was good in its heyday, where it was more not for, I mean, it did turn into a one-up show, but when it was in its prime, it was more getting all like the biggest fans in one space to experience and get hands-on with some of the newest stuff. Like when the PlayStation 2 launched and the PlayStation 3 launched, that was all hands-on launched at E3. Mm-hmm. But I think that since they kind of got away from that, we're getting more into the digital age, those people stopped showing up the big companies didn't want to have their big launch cycles surrounded on E3's timetable, right? Or mm-hmm. E3's say so. We want you to do this or we want you to do that. They wanted to do it on their own time when they were ready, right? That was where a lot of the crunch stuff came in, where they were trying to get everything done by E3 so they could say, oh, we're going to be releasing in the next 2 months or maybe the day after E3. But I think that's why developers were trying to push away from E3 in the beginning.
I think it also has to do with like the age we live in now, where at a time when E3 first came out, there was a need to consolidate all that and put it in one place because the viewership and the people that really were interested in it maybe weren't as broad around. And now we live in a world where, you know, nobody really needs you to become a physician or a lawyer to have a good income. A lot of it is all just streaming services or gamers or social media, you know, presentation, things of that nature. And I feel like now we're in a place in our society, in our world, where this is a viable income. This is a viable, you know, career choice. And so because the spectrum of viewers and the broadness has expanded so much, you don't necessarily need it all consolidated in one place. You can have success as a smaller or a larger company doing your own thing, not necessarily needing to come together with multiple other factions to create one large show. You can have several smaller, albeit, but still great shows with really high positive, strong numbers, and not really lose that financial point that you're trying to keep. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's been shown with the Nintendo Directs. I feel like it's been shown again with Ubisoft and their Directs. I feel like it's been a lot of success with YouTube videos, streaming, shorts, things of that nature. We're still searching, if you look at it, for a lot of trailers for games, movies, and especially even like we were talking about in one of our other episodes, movies have become such more evolved.
That's going to be the next episode.
That's going to be the next episode. Sorry.
Push it forward.
This is going to be but the next episode you'll hear about it. Movies and games, there's so much of world, you know, encompassing and melding now. But that's, again, because of the world we've now been in. 20 years ago, you talk about our parents. If you ever heard the word gaming, their mind shuts off like, oh, my kid's a loser. You know,
yes.
Raising our kids, we're going to be like, all right, well, you know, my kid's going to be a gamer. At least let me set them down a path of success. These are the games you should play, not Animal Crossing. I don't have a hate for Animal Crossing. I just don't understand it.
Let
I'm
people
sorry.
Enjoy their cozy games, okay? Let them play their Harvest Moons, their Animal Crossings, Stardew Valleys. Let people relax, okay? If it helps them relax, why not? There's no need to hate on it, Lord Mos.
One thing
to add on to Lord Mos's point, though, like for the times evolving, I am happy though that they are bringing back more demos again. And I think Square Enix, I feel like, has done a really good job at bringing the demos. You play it, and then if you actually buy the game, it transfers into the game. Your save file transfers into the game. I really like that, just because like back in the day, I'm not sure if you guys got it. If you got the PlayStation magazine when the PlayStation 1 came out, they had a demo.
The Jam Pack
disc. Yeah, the Jam Pack.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those were like five, six games.
I remember there was Tekken in it, Crash Bandicoot, Spyro,
Kick, Matt punch, Hoffman's it's all BMX. In the mind.
I remember that. I remember my first fat PlayStation. But yeah. The only thing I would suggest, and I don't know if this is even realistic, when you have these demos, a lot of the demos are coming too close out to the end of the game's production. And it's like, here's a snippet of what we have, and you'll get the rest of it.
Well, it has to.
I
know,
but I wonder if there could be a team that works on a portion of a demo separately than the people who work on the games. That way you can release it as more of like an unfinished product or a beta or a finished portion of a game. And you can like, okay, here's the feedback we have. Let's fix this. So when the new game comes out, the main game comes out, it's more successful. I know you're shaking your head, Steve, but like there's so many games I feel like could have benefited from that. There was a demo for Forspoken, and the game,
I feel like they didn't listen to anybody. Yeah,
you know. And okay, I mean the demo wasn't great. It was
okay. I mean, limited. Well, here's the hoping that Multiverses comes back better. Yeah, Multiverses comes back, and they fix up and they fix everything for it because their demo or open beta was so terrible.
$100 foundation pack open beta. Yeah.
But one thing that we're going to be missing from E3 though is how do we get exposure on smaller developers and indie games? We did see a lot of that at E3 when they would take part and you would just randomly walk by their booth and be like, oh, what the heck is that? I want to try that out. How do we see that now? Because it is such a lost sauce in the stores now, especially Nintendo Store, man. Every time you go to the new releases, it's like 800 different ways to like buy a bride or cook a dinner, or it's crap games.
Did you just say buy a bride?
Those, yes, those stupid games where you like try to like entice a woman, like...
Oh,
the Weibo games. I don't know what they're called.
Okay, but you know what? You're right. And that does suck. But that's going to come down to those individual developers. That's going to come down to the social media presence. That's going to come down to, for example, Stray. Stray was an indie company that made the game, right?
And it was, but it was free. No, but it was free with PlayStation Plus.
But why not bring those indie companies into the light by giving out a smaller free game while they work on a larger game?
Wait, what?
If you have these indie companies that are bringing out games, Straight, I hated it. I'm sorry. I don't understand it. But it was nominated for like Game of the Year. There was so many different awards for it, and so many people loved it. And I don't get it. I'm sorry. It's a cap.
It's because Sony backed it, right? And that's the only reason we saw it or heard anything about it. And
I feel like if you put it on like the PlayStation websites, if you put it on the PlayStation networks or the Microsoft Game Pass or whatever it is, you can have a free game. A lot of these games are free.
No, but that takes money. Yeah, for they're not going to have that kind of cash.
Yeah, do you think it just takes $60 to develop a game, Lormos?
No, I don't. Of course not.
But I think if E3 revamped itself into more of like an indie showcase instead of an
indie,
I would think that they would probably survive because they would then kind of get everybody's eyes like, holy crap, they're actually putting like a focus, and they could even vet them, right? Like, you're a crap game, we don't want you there. Well, if you're going to be there, you can be in the back. Like,
yeah.
Well, they have that for PAX. I mean, and nice thing is, since it's ReadPop doing it now, it might be. That might be the way they go. Like, it just be indie developers coming in, and because like with E3, it's always was how big the floor space was, and then each company would take up like Sony would take up like half the convention, like with just their
one
booth.
Of the halls, half of it was Sony. Yeah.
Yeah, with one of it. So it could be a time to change, to have like more indie games show up, and then in that situation, hopefully not get bought out by the bigger ones.
Right. Or hopefully do. I don't know. Bring them under the umbrella. Bring them into the fold.
No, competition is good.
Lord Most competition, right?
Lord Most likes Monopoly.
I love Monopoly. Because he seems to win more often at that, but that's the only win he gets from me in any of these competitive games.
That's the only win he gets at all. Ever.
It's okay, I'll take it. Money is money, no matter what color it is.
Fighting words. All right, y'all. Well, hey, tell us what you think of this take today. We have a lot of big news that came out, so let us know. Is this going to be bad for all these companies? Or do you see the plus side on maybe having a focus on this indie scene? I think that's going to be good. I hope they go that way. Signing off, this is your first host, Mr. Boopers.
This is Lordmost _.
This is Angry Asian Seed.
This is Zino.
See y'all later.
Later.
Later.